Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with Richard Sarasani about his new book, Love Letters from Mount Rushmore. His father worked on the monument, and the book features letters he wrote back to his wife. It provides a behind-the-scenes look at the carving of Mount Rushmore. And also, we'll talk with SDPB TV producer and Wessington Springs native Chad Anderson about his recent trip through his tornado-ravaged hometown and the before-and-after video he created. But first, it's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. And joining us today is Seth Tupper, publisher of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Seth, thanks for joining the program.
You're welcome.
Also with us on the line is David Montgomery, political reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And David, good to talk with you as well.
Glad to be here.
Well, this morning, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Susan Wismer announced that Susie Blake is her lieutenant governor running mate. David, what do we know about Susie Blake? Who is she?
She's a former two-term legislator from Sioux Falls. She was in the state house from 2009 to 2012. She was probably best known for an effort she led in her final year, 2012, to reform the state's a program that gave a tax refund to low-income people for food. That was widely acknowledged to be not working, and she championed a measure to repeal that tax refund and instead give money to food banks around the state, which won support in the Republican-dominated legislature, always a strong feat for a Democrat, with some support from some amendments from Republicans who changed the bill a little bit. She didn't run for another term in 2012, citing both some health issues she had. She was recovering from breast cancer and said she just was very low energy at the time, as well as redistricting lines that made the district harder for her to win, and the combination of those made her pass. But now she says she's full of energy again and ready to get back in it. And after some initial hesitation, accepted Susan Wismer's invitation to be her running mate.
Well, here's a little bit of tape from this morning's press conference. Susan Wismer announcing that Susie Blake is her lieutenant governor running mate, and here is Susie Blake.
Anyone else and I would have said no, but it was Susan that was calling. This is a woman that I have deep respect for. She is honest. She is forthright. She is genuine. And I trust her completely. I knew I had to rethink my decision about politics. So, after many hours of sleepless night and discussing this with the people in my life that mean the most to me, I knew that this was a woman that I wanted to see as the governor of my state. This was a woman who was smart. She was articulate. She taught me a lot in peer as I watched her and listened to her. She is someone with great ideas, and she's a heck of a smart woman. So I am so honored and so humbled to say, Susan, I am ready to take this groundbreaking, history-making journey with my friend.
That's Susie Blake, who Susan Wismer has chosen as her lieutenant governor running mate. Seth Tupper, what do you think of this choice of Susie Blake as a running mate?
Well, it's, we don't know a whole lot about her yet. It's certainly interesting. What jumps out at you first, obviously, is that we'll have an all-woman ticket, which I haven't done the checking. I assume that's a first for South Dakota.
It is.
And you mentioned, and of course, Susie Blake just said on that clip that it would be a historic run. So I think that's the thing that will jump out to people first of all. And when I look at the press release they put out this morning, I think there's a clear play there for to women and issues that are of special concern to women. In the press release, they talk about Susie Blake being an advocate for schools, parents and grandparents, families, wanting to raise the minimum wage, fund education, expand Medicaid. So there'll be a clear distinction there, I guess, between them and the Rounds campaign, obviously, on Medicaid and I assume that they'll try to make make the argument that the Duggar administration is underfunded, had a hand in underfunding education, and so there will certainly be a contrast. And besides that, though, you know, running mates in South Dakota, they, you know, do they really have much impact on the race? I really don't think so. I think if you polled South Dakotans and asked them who our current lieutenant governor is, it'd be an awful lot wouldn't be able to tell you. So, you know, in the end, who your running mate is in a race like that, South Dakota governor, I don't think it's going to matter a whole lot.
David, do you agree with that, or do you think that maybe she might bring something to the ticket as far as, you know this historic nature of two women?
I think any effect is going to be relatively minor. The lieutenant governor in South Dakota is not a high-profile job. It doesn't get a lot of attention. I think for some people who like the idea of a female candidate, the all-female ticket could maybe make them a little bit more intense, more passionate. But as Susie Blake said in an interview with the Argus just about an hour ago, while she was initially skeptical that maybe a two-women ticket could turn some voters off, she ultimately decided that anyone who wasn't comfortable with two women on the ticket probably wasn't going to be comfortable with one woman on the ticket. So I don't think plus or minus is going to be any real big impact from this. The biggest effect of the lieutenant governor is you get a campaign surrogate, someone who can campaign in other parts of the state than you're in, get media attention and speak at events and things like that, sort of let you extend your reach. And that's helpful, but and Blake is a passionate speaker and will probably be a benefit to the Wismer campaign, but this is not a race-changing event by any means.
This past weekend, Republicans held their state convention, and they passed a resolution calling for the impeachment of President Obama, since it's the U.S. House of Representatives that has the power to impeach President Seth Tupper. What do you think the point was of that resolution?
That's a good question. I wasn't in the room, so I don't know. I was surprised by it a little bit. We all understand that, you know, Republicans by and large don't agree with you know, President Obama on many things. But has the president done anything that's impeachable? I don't think you'll find a lot of you certainly won't find any Democrats or many moderates on either side of the aisle who would say that we should impeach the president. So, I mean, it struck me as a little extreme, and I think it'll strike some voters the same way. But, you know, do people really pay attention to what's in the platform? For the most part, probably not. But I think it was a little surprising, and it does indicate just how much animosity there is within the party for the president and his policies and everything else. And we had a chance. Larry Pressler stopped at our office today on the campaign trail. And he mentioned he thought it was an embarrassment. He's a former Republican. Those were his words. He said it's an embarrassment that the convention adopted that resolution. So I don't know. I was one of the other reasons I was surprised by it is because the more moderate mainstream candidate, Mike Rounds, did so well in the primary compared to the more conservative extreme candidates did so poorly in the primary. You wouldn't think that a more extreme kind of resolution calling for impeachment from that result, you wouldn't think that kind of extreme resolution would gain so much headway. But it depends, I guess, on the makeup of the convention as well. And I don't know all those people and where they stand politically. But an interesting move for sure.
Well, David Montgomery, I believe you were there at the convention. Was there quite a bit of debate or much debate over that resolution over impeachment?
There was. This was a very close issue. They had 10 or 15 minutes of debate, and then when they voted, it was too close to determine from the voice votes. They had to do a roll call. Some of the people argued for the impeachment, saying that Obama has been acted unconstitutionally, has broken the law, has clearly committed impeachable offenses, and that South Dakota Republicans should take a stand and call for him to be kicked out of office. And other Republicans objected, saying that while they disagree with what Obama's done as president, they don't think that rises to the level of impeachability. And further, they thought it would reflect poorly on the Republican Party. And one person said he thought it would make the party look petty, as if they couldn't win elections, so they were going to try doing other matters. The ultimate vote was about 190 to 170 in favor, spurred by Pennington County, whose delegation voted overwhelmingly for the resolution. And you know, as you noted, this is just a resolution saying that this would be a good idea. It's not even in the party's official platform. So it's not going. It doesn't mean that Obama is now going to be impeached. The House of Representatives has to do that. But this is, I believe, the first state party to officially, formally call for Obama's impeachment.
Also, during their state convention, Republicans nominated Chantel Krebs as their candidate for Secretary of State. She won by a large margin over Deputy Secretary of State Pat Miller. Seth Tupper, do you see Krebs' nomination as something of a rebuke to current Secretary of State Jason Gant, whose tenure in office has been rather controversial?
That might be some of it. I would suspect that maybe, you know, there's, Gant has had enough problems and enough public controversies that maybe they want to distance themselves from him and anybody who's associated with him. But I think beyond that, there's also probably just a feeling that Chantel Krebs, being young and probably ambitious, that this maybe could be a stepping stone for her. We've seen increasingly in recent years this Secretary of State job and some of the other constitutional offices being an entry into possibly bigger things in the future. And I think as a Republican, when you weigh the two candidates, you see greater potential and upside probably in Chantel Krebs. And I would think maybe that probably had as much to do with it as anybody having any animosity toward Jason Gant. That'd be my theory anyway.
And David Montgomery, your thoughts?
I mean, that was a big part. It was part of the campaign that Krebs mentioned. She never criticized Gant by name, but didn't hold back from criticizing his conduct of the office, saying it was time for a change. She made that both as a way to improve the office as well as the political argument. She argued that Pat Miller, as someone who worked for Gant, was more easily tied to him by the Democrats and would make it a more vulnerable seat for Democrats to take back, whereas her as an outsider would have a better chance of winning as somebody who couldn't be so easily tied to Gant's controversies.
Well, the Democrats hold their state convention in Yankton this weekend, and there is a candidate that's announced for the Democratic nomination, Angelia Schultz, I believe. If she wins the nomination, Seth, looks like she'll face an uphill battle against Chantel Krebs?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, obviously, Chantel Krebs, being a Republican, already has the advantage of more registered Republicans and Democrats. Being from Sioux Falls, she also has that advantage of just being from a larger population base. She has some name recognition, obviously, with her husband, formerly being a television anchor in Sioux Falls, Mitch Krebs, and she's got probably plenty of political know-how. Her husband, Mitch, has been involved with Mike Rounds on a couple of different campaigns, and I'm sure she's picked up some things there from Rounds and his other staff. So, you know, you've got Chantel Krebs being a pretty formidable candidate, and I don't know much about Ms. Schultz, but, you know, being from Aberdeen and being a Democrat and not having much of any name recognition statewide, you certainly would think she'd be the underdog in that race.
David Montgomery, assuming you agree that Angelia Schultz is the underdog, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her first name correctly or not.
She's definitely the underdog there. As a Democrat, Krebs is a proven campaigner, someone who can raise some money, has a lot of connections. The weapon that Schultz has is that a lot of voters are apparently, although there haven't been any polling on this, but a general sense of discontentment with Gant. And she'll be trying her best to try to make the argument that this wasn't a personal thing about Gant, but rather a reflection of Republican control of the office. Krebs, of course, will probably have more resources to make the opposite argument, that that she'll be able to offer a fresh start and maintain and offer a steady running of elections and business registrations.
Democrats this weekend will also nominate candidates for attorney general and other constitutional offices. Seth Tupper, do you think the Democrats will have a difficult time finding people who want to run?
I do, just because of the way things have gone for them in the recent past. You got to remember, last time Senator John Thune was up for re-election, the Democrats did not field a candidate for a U.S. Senate race, and it trickles on down from there. So it has been tough, and, I don't know, it's for a party, it really reflects poorly on the Democrats if they're not able to field candidates. It's not as though there are no Democrats in South Dakota. I'm just pulled up the data on the Secretary of State's site. There's 175,000 registered Democrats in the state. So it's not as though the numbers aren't there to find somebody who wants to run for a constitutional office, but they have had trouble, and I don't have any inside information where they will again this year, but you certainly would think that would be the case, just because it has been, going back the last few election cycles.
David Montgomery, are you hearing about any other Democrats who might run for constitutional offices?
Not by name. I mean, I've heard of some Democrats who've passed on the option. Former state auditor candidate and state lawmaker Julie Bartling was encouraged to run for Secretary of State earlier, but declined. Jeff Barth, the Minnehaha County Commissioner, former U.S. House candidate, was and probably is still being encouraged to run for PUC, but I think he's planning on staying in Minnehaha County and seeking his seat. But in terms of people who will be running, I don't know. So there's some speculation about Mark Feinstein, Democratic lawmaker who came up short in a race for a judgeship. He's an attorney and could possibly be a candidate for attorney general. But Feinstein hasn't returned my call, so I can't say for certain. That's just pure speculation on my part.
Well, Seth Tupper, you mentioned Larry Pressler, former Republican senator, who's now running as an independent for his former seat. Last week, he called for a complete and immediate withdrawal of all U.S. forces in Iraq. He said he disagreed with his friend, Barack Obama's decision to send more personnel in Iraq. Also last week, he filed a friend of the court brief supporting gay marriage. Seth, are these positions surprising, coming from someone who was a former Republican U.S. senator?
I don't think they're all that surprising, just when you consider how far the Republican Party has moved to the right and become more conservative since Larry Pressler's heyday. When Larry Pressler was in Congress, however long that's been, mainly in the 80s, I don't think he probably wouldn't have espoused those positions back then, but people of his mindset, I think, since that time, people who think of themselves as more moderates, more mainstream Republicans, their views probably have evolved on some of these things, and we've seen that nationally. Whereas at the same time, the party itself has gone further to the right. So I don't think it's that surprising, especially given now he's registered as an independent. But we talked to him this morning. We had an editorial board meeting with him. He contends that supporting gay rights and the broader issue of civil rights is a true conservative position, and you wouldn't get many Republicans these days who would agree with that. But he thinks that way. I think he feels the same way about Iraq. He talked about that this morning about. He just doesn't feel that America should wade into other countries' civil wars, was what he said, and that it's kind of a fruitless exercise, and the more conservative position would to be to withdraw and focus on our own affairs back here at home. So I guess it all depends on, you can call yourself a conservative, but what does that mean to you? To him, it obviously means something different than to some others. So, but I'm not surprised by it. As I said, he's 72 years old now. His views have changed on some issues, and he feels like the party has taken a hard right turn, whereas he has been maybe moderated a little bit. And that's just where he's at.
David Montgomery, do these positions suggest that perhaps Pressler in the fall election would take more votes from Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Rick Wyland than Republican Mike Rounds?
Well, he's clearly going to draw from a little bit from both sides. I've seen some Democrats attacking Pressler lately, which suggests that they perhaps see him as a threat, or at least want to minimize the number of their voters who cross over and back Pressler. But I mean, between the positions, that would seem to maybe go more after Democratic voters. But a large part of it, I mean, Pressler from his time in office, I think there's a number of older South Dakotans who are still think fondly of Pressler, and especially his work on constituent service issues for veterans and other areas. And some of those people, including possibly some Republicans, could also be for grabs for Pressler.
All right. Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. And David, thanks for joining the program.
Glad to be here.
And Seth, thanks for your time as well.
You bet.
Seth Tupper is publisher of the Mitchell Daily Republic, and David Montgomery is a political reporter at the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. He also is the author of the Political Smokeout blog, and the Dakota Political Junkies are a regular Wednesday feature of Dakota Midday.